Yeah, we're starting 29. All right. Now, while I was trying to get these things ready, I read through quite a lot. And I found out that there's so much story to read in there. Therefore, I'm just going to summarize a number of things. Is that okay? All right. We won't just read everything line by line, except it's important that we pick a lesson from it. So I'm starting from Genesis chapter 29. Let's just read a few verses, and then I'll give us the rest of the story. Now, it said, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. Now, please remember that. Let me just go back a step. In verse 20, in chapter 28, we saw how Jacob left home because his brother was angry with him, and his mother gave it as an excuse that so that he would not marry children and the daughters from around there, asked the father to please let him go, and then he left. Now, on the way, it was when he dreamed the dream and then made a vow to God. Then in Genesis chapter 29, now this now began to happen. He traveled. The Bible says in verse 2, he looked and he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there. He said, for from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. When the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the water and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place, that kind of thing. Now the rest of the story there, you will find out what it's just about is essentially how he got to the house of Laban. And then when he got there, he saw that is the story in Genesis 29 is basically how he got involved with the house of Laban. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to just summarize everything. And then Laban now asked him, of course, asked after his people and everything, and Laban welcomed him into his home. All right, so the story in 29 essentially was how he got to the house of Laban and then liked Rachel. All right, now let's start from verse 16. He said, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now, what he meant by Leah's eyes were weak, we just know it's in contrast to the fact that Rachel was beautiful. Is that okay? Now, please, let me just say this. That was, this is my opinion, though. That was in the perception of Jacob. So what you are seeing here is actually a reflection of the opinion that Jacob had about the situation. That's the way I see it. Is that okay? Now, Jacob considered the Rachel to be very, very beautiful. And then, now the Bible says in verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel, so he asked. The reason why this matter came up was because Laban wanted him to stay with him and, you know, work with him. And Jacob has said that, Jacob said, okay, no problem, I'll stay with you. But Laban now said, look, you must tell me something that you are going to earn for working with me. So that's why this discussion now went to the matter of the daughters. So Jacob now said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, very good, in verse 19. Now go ahead and stay with me. Now verse 20 is a summary of 7 years. The summary of 7 years is that Jacob served for Rachel those 7 years, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Please notice this. Jacob served for 7 years. Now, he worked for Laban for 7 years as payment for his wife, that's as dowry for Rachel. And the Bible says it seemed to him like a few days because of his love for her. Now, actually, this is not where I'm going to in this particular chapter. I'm still going to go further. But let me just interrupt for about 5 minutes and just say something to all of us in passing here. The power of that love. Now, I'm not talking about the power of the love for woman now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, that is clearly expressed here. But I want to talk about the power of a love for anything generally. Somebody quoted to me, and I didn't know I said it. You know, as a preacher, you say a lot of things. You don't even know you said them. He said that, I said that passion makes the process painless. And I said, who said that? I said, me? When did I say that? And actually, I now began to remember that, yes, it's the kind of thing I should have said. But really, I couldn't remember saying it. Now, again, but this is just a scripture to show us that that's exactly how life works. Now, if something is very difficult for you, most likely it is because you don't like the thing. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make here? That is, if your heart is really in something, it becomes very easy to do it when everybody else is saying that this thing is hard. I remember something Bishop Oyedepo said once. He said one thing about him, very negative. And then there was one young lady, one of his daughters, you know, daughter now in the Lord. And she was very, very offended. And she came to him and said, how can I be talking like that? That we all know how you suffered. You know, that kind of thing. And he said, suffered? Me? You suffered? He said, oh, this is what I was suffering. Do you get the point? That is, while he was working, starting a ministry, doing a lot of things, and outwardly you look as a man, this guy is suffering. Are you getting my point? He said he did not realize that he was actually suffering. He said, as far as he was concerned, he was doing something that he loved to do. You are getting the point I make here. And for him, it didn't appear painful at all. But those observing from outside, you know, there are times, when I look back now, I have a feeling of, how do I say it now, of unity with this kind of experience. I've had, I don't know whether this is good to say or not, too, but I know there are times before, people used to look at me as a very, very odd fellow. Two of my friends, my best friends, listen, my best friends, one day they sat down and said, this man, we don't think you'll ever buy a car in your life. I said, what? Which kind of swear be that one? You know what I mean? That's pidgin English. So they swear for person. Okay, now which kind of course is that? That's okay, maybe that's what you understand. I was speaking pidgin. And they said, we don't think you'll ever need one. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? I remember one of my friends took me one out when they came to my house. He said, look, this guy, your life is too dry. Enter the car. Let's go to the beach. They said, let's drive to Cotonou. Yes. What are we going to do? He said, nothing. Let's just drive there. So I entered the car. And that's what they said, okay, I should drive. So I drive just to, you know, they were at the border that they said nobody could cross for certain reasons, that nobody should cross. We're not going to do anything, just driving. It was a public holiday. So we now turned around and he said, all right, what do we do now? He said, let's drive to one of the beaches in Badagry Bridge. So well, we drove there. He said, okay, turn here. I was not doing the driving now. It was his car. Then we parked. Then we were three in the car, him, one guy and one lady. And so they said, okay, let them go. Then they went to the waters, you know, go and play. I looked for one of the sheds. I sat down, brought out the Bible, and started reading. I always went around with my small Bible. So when we just go to the beach, so what's going to happen here? So why are we here? The guy said, what do we want? We came to play. So I said, okay, all right, let's go play. I just looked for one of the places where there was a shed there. I just went to that place, sat down on the sand, brought out my Bible, as I already. Now, let's be honest. If it is me, now I'm remembering now, I would have thought this guy was not normal also. You get the point that I make. But the reason why I used to do things like that was simply because, I don't know, I think I just enjoyed, no, really, for me, it was really a matter of passion. The thing was sweet. It was nice to do. The guy just looked like me, as if, this guy, you're a hopeless case. I don't know what else I can do for you. I've come on the weekend, on the public holiday, to drag you out of your house. We dropped you on the beach, yet you went and sat down in one of these sheds there and started reading the scripture. I'm just bringing out something here. Now, take as an example, this is our beautiful country, which I believe is very beautiful. I was editing our radio broadcast, you know, for tonight, and I realized, I was listening to some of the things I said. I said, yeah, this is very good. This country is a very, very good country. And there's a reason why some of us will actually think it's very good, despite all the problems that might be present there. Now, in life, generally, this is how it is. If there's nothing really that's driving you, that is when you notice all the problems of life. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? He said, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. I've explained that one to us before. That what that means is that when a man has a passion, has a drive, all the injuries, my best example, when I give that illustration, the example I used, it's my best, is football. You've seen footballers, those guys are really, really walking. I mean, they are speeding. You give the guy a stud, he falls down, you tackle him roughly. They actually get injured, but it doesn't slow them down until the end of the match. It's at night when the match has ended that you know how injured men were. Your leg will still swell. There's nothing. If they kick you bad, it will still swell eventually. But while you are there, you really don't notice. Have you not seen things like this before? Maybe you were doing a sport. At the end of the day, you finish. Then you see an injury on your hand. So when did this happen? You're bleeding, but you don't know exactly when it happened. The reason being that there was something that gripped your heart, and that's what you were working with. So why I started saying all of this is that in life, you can see all the problems in society. It is because there is nothing really that is driving the person who is observing the situations. I don't know whether you are getting the point I make. For example, look, I've had a lot of hassles. I mean, personally, everybody does, you know. Maybe like we don't have light, and then to go and connect light from one long place for us, it costs you so much money. And then as you are finishing that, you have finally solved the light problem, then roof problem starts. Your roof starts leaking. Like, after we finish repairing this roof, like we repaired this roof last time, the Zemeka notified me that for 1 week or two, we're rejoicing. Praise God, though. He said, Pastor, well, I walked in this morning and I saw pools of water here and there. Hi! My spirit fell again. Are you getting the point I'm making? But you see, what is driving us actually is that, see, despite that, too, we are designing how where our next stage is going to be. No, in another 4 weeks or so, we'll have a new stage, or at least by the time we start next time, maybe first, second meeting, we'll have a new stage there. All right? No, the stage will leave this side, to be on that side. We'll have a banner at the back. We're already designing things. All right? All the problems that look like there's no light, somebody's making us that the cars are honing and honing and honing. It has never crossed my mind or your mind that we should just pack this whole thing up. Let's just go back and assume, you know, let's assume nothing's happening, Joe. Let's forget it. Why? You see, like I was saying on radio, please make sure you don't miss this series we are saying on radio, that you can never have a vision in life until you have a problem to solve. You can't have a vision except there are problems. Nobody campaigns for a position but by campaigning that he will solve problems. You know, today I was watching on CNN, the summary of the debate that CNN organized for the front runners in towards the presidential election, the Democratic Party. You know, of course, I listened to them again. Just like I gave as an example on radio, the same thing, of course. The issue was Barack Obama was there. Hillary Clinton, and then one other guy, three of them. And the issue was, how will you solve this Iraqi war? It is a problem. That is, how you will solve a problem is what makes people appoint you to office. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You cannot have a vision except you have identified a problem. It is not possible if you sit down having a vision that is not solving a problem, that vision is not of God. You are following the point I'm trying to make. You want to know whether it's of God, your vision must be solving a problem. Now, what I'm trying to say here is this. The love for God, the love for the brethren, the love to do something for God on the earth is actually what makes all these processes painless. Are you getting my point? There was a day we're teaching here. You are all witnesses. It's raining. We had to evacuate from here and squeeze ourselves in somewhere. The rain was beating so hard on the roof. Somebody couldn't hear the other. Are you getting my point? Yes, but we didn't go away. And of course, shortly after, we forget. For me, I really derive my joy once I see that the thing is well recorded and it still comes out clear. People can hear it. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. So all the problems of life, okay, you solve them. That's not the point now. Your personal problems, you overcome them. That's a better word. By having a focus, something really that you are running for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's the way life is. Listen, if I one day I just told my wife a few days ago, I said, why is it that we must always have one problem or the other to solve? Do you understand? As soon as I finish solving something, just come and say, all the bulbs on this side don't blow. Why are these bulbs blowing? Why can't they just have mercy on me and say the next 3 years so I don't have to solve problem with bulb blowing? Walked in one day, NEPA search, took my VCD player, my TV, about 4 fluorescent tubes. I said, like, Jesus Christ. This has to be solved. Then we finish all of that, my wife will tell you that, the freezer is not closing properly again. Sometimes I don't want to buy some extra thing. I say, look, that's something else to maintain. I don't want. So you could buy this to help you. I say, Then it will add to the number of things that could get wrong in the house. But that's the way life is. You're always solving one thing. That's why Jesus said that to him that overcomes. The crown is given to whom? Him that overcomes. Not the one that ran away. You know, I keep on warning all of you. If you think you can run away from where things are hard to where things are easy, you are going to suffer for eternity. I'm warning you now. Don't think I didn't warn you. Because to him that overcomes, that's the one that Jesus gives a crown to. Not the one that ran away. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm just speaking that. I didn't want to talk for so long on that anyway. I'm just saying that to let us know. He said that for Jacob served for 7 years because he loved Rachel so much. For that reason, 7 years to him was just a few days. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? All right. That's why the time That's why time is always short when you are doing what you enjoy. But if it's something you don't like doing, it looks like this time, no, they finish. You are following the principle there. All right. Now, so let's just go on. He said, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my time is completed. Now, I don't want to read all of this, because we know that what happened. They had a feast. Make sure, I think part of the reason why the feast was done was to ensure that Jacob was drunk. Do you follow by the points? So that the man drank very well. So that night, he wouldn't know that this was not Rachel, but it was Leah. Now, but I won't read all the details. After the feast, what happened was Leah was given to Jacob. And Bible said Jacob went into her. And then when he woke up in the morning, he found out that, look at what they have done. They have substituted Rachel Leah for Rachel. And then he began to complain. Now, I said something to us before, that one of the things that God did, a major thing that God did for Jacob, I'm not going to repeat that, when we were discussing that in previous chapters, that God had to bring Jacob to the place where he could bless him. I'm not going to go over that again. He had to bring. He said, I will not leave you alone until I have brought you back. Now, remember, we read that from where now? Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. He said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, what I said then was that what God was saying, that I will be with you all the time, that there are two ways to look at it. You can look at it that God said, I will be there protecting you and providing for you. That is true. But beyond that, God was saying that I will not leave you alone. That is, I'll continue to deal with you, refine you, you know, touch you here and there to bring you to the position where you can be blessed. And I refer to the fact that Jacob he used to deceive people. He used to do it. It was his lifestyle, I believe, very strongly. All right? His name was Supplanter. And Esau complained about his attribute when he discovered that a man had used his subterfuge, all right, to collect some things from him. But we already discussed why that happened. Now, so one of the things that God did for Jacob, or the major thing God did for Jacob, was that God led him about so that he might remove every foreign god from him. That is, the power to trust in other methods apart from trusting in God. That is, all the things that he was doing that wasn't right. You know, I'm going to say something about it in a moment. That's people living a life that is not right, and God still blessing them eventually. It's so important. Please notice that, and I'm going to explain in a moment. You can be living a life that's not right, and ultimately, the promise of God is still done through you. But listen, you will suffer from beginning to the end. People outside can, this is the interesting part about God's things. People outside can be watching and say, man, this man is so blessed. Do you get my point? They can be watching and say, this man is so blessed. And then many people may be getting blessed by the person's life. But the person himself will be suffering. And his suffering is because of his character before God. I'll explain that in a moment. Now, so one of the things that first happened was that Jacob was given a dose of his own medicine, and he saw how it felt. Are you getting what I want to say here? That's just the thing I want to say about that substituting Leah for Rachel. Now, if you now see after that, I'm not going to read it for time's sake. What happened after that? They had a discussion. He said, the reason why I did it is because in our culture, we cannot give out the younger daughter before the elder one. He said, okay, therefore, fulfill her week, whatever that means, and then we'll give you the second one in advance on credit. Then you serve 7 years to pay for the second daughter. Now, after that, they gave him Rachel. But of course, he didn't like Rachel. He didn't like Leah. So he clung more to Rachel. But interestingly enough, I don't know why the good Lord did it. The Bible makes it clear that God decided to shut Rachel's womb and said, because Leah was hated. Listen to me, I don't understand that principle till now. But he said, because Leah was hated, God opened her womb. Now, we'll say something about that in a moment. But what I want to notice is that looking through their life, the life of Jacob, from that chapter into the next, his house was not exactly a peaceful home. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what I was referring to earlier. That the promise of God may be fulfilled through somebody, and the person still will not, all right, really enjoy life. Jacob never really, really, really enjoyed life. He will see the manifestations of God, but listen, one, you have two wives who were sisters, and then in your house, they're enemies. I don't want to go through the story. You will see, each one will give birth,
And it's a sign that God is favoring me against my rival, my sister. It was a competition, all right? One day, one of the sons of Leah went out and found mandrakes. Mandrakes are supposed to boost fertility, all right? Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but at least in that context, it worked for them. And Rachel asked for some. He said, for what? He said, is it not enough that you have taken my husband? Now, to tell you the kind of relationship they had in the house, there is no man. And listen, you know, it's not modern day that you go and rent house for one in Abuja and put another one in Port Harcourt and you are living in Enugu. It's not like that. They were living together. So you can imagine that every day, Jacob had problems in the house. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? That is, even though God's promise was upon him, and God was willing to bless him, he was experiencing problems because of his character. Are you getting my point? Listen, there are people I know, you know, sometimes you look at somebody and say, man, this guy is a very nice guy. He loves the Lord. Now, are you following my point? He really loves the Lord, you know, and that it can happen. You can have a man who is, in quote, a bad man, really loving the Lord. But maybe his problem is that his deals are never straight. Listen to me. He might be blessed eventually in life, but he will never have rest of mind. Why? Because his deals are not straight. And so sometimes people don't understand this. And when you are giving people as examples, that's why it's possible to be pleasing to God in a major part of life and not be in another part of life. All right? Now, people may see the effect of that major part of life, you know, and you give me as an example. Maybe like we talk about, there are a lot of people I give as examples, maybe they are not believers, and you give them as examples. The truth is that the man may have outward success. We may be able to learn principles of life from the things that he has done. You follow my point? But inside, the fact that he doesn't have a correct relationship with God, he doesn't have a right character, he doesn't have the right moral principles of life will not stop biting him. Listen, believe me, I don't know why God did like that. Abraham was a nice guy. Isaac was a hyper-cool guy. Isaac was just too cool. All right? God now said, well, if I leave only these two, people will think that I only bless nice and cool guys. So he now chose one crooked character. And the crooked character loved the Lord. Do you follow my point? But still, no, really. Remember the case of David as our example again. David loved the Lord seriously. Do you follow? He did. And then, eventually, something inside him killed Uriah and married Uriah's wife. And God said, because you love the Lord seriously, we will forgive you. But, because of this thing you have done, the sword will not depart from your house. David suffered for years. God said, I have forgiven you, no problem. But I must make an example of you for other people. You are getting my point? Do you know how many years, I don't know the number of years, but David suffered for that thing for a very long time. That was the reason Absalom rebelled against him. That was the reason why Amnon that raped his sister. That was the reason why he did. That was the reason why Absalom killed Amnon. Who was the other one that decided to make himself king? Adonijah, that's how Adonijah made himself king. Look, the man really had troubles. And believe me, do you know, as a 70-something-year-old man, David was sick. Did you notice that? Now, this is the point. Such a great man, you would think. But think about it. Moses was 120 years old. And the Bible said that his strength did not abate and his eyes did not grow dim. At 70-something, David couldn't sleep alone because of cold. Caleb, at 80, was fighting giants. At 80. Listen, there was a reason why David was weak in his 70s. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? That is, yes, somebody might love the Lord, but as a Christian, it's so important that your personal character, you get what I want to say, your personal standards in life keep on increasing and they must meet up to God's ideal. Sometimes God uses people and blesses them apparently despite their shortcomings. But doesn't mean that he's excusing those shortcomings. That's the point I'm trying to make. You follow that point? Now, because if you look at David, which is Jacob here. Like I said, I won't read everything. You can go through it. In the household of Jacob, there was problem from the beginning till the end. They were always quarreling. The sons of this woman, the sons of that woman, they had different camps in the house. I'm just trying to run down. You see, they had many children. I mean, Leah had the greatest number of children for Jacob. Rachel only bore how many children? 2. And she died giving birth to the second one. Is that okay? I mean, the man didn't have it easy at all. Now, please, I hope you have borne that one in mind. All right. Now, having explained that, let's now go down to verse 25 of chapter 30. He said, now it came about when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart, for you yourself know my service which I have rendered you. But Laban said to him, if now it pleases you, stay with me. The reason, he said, is because I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. And he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. Now, this point is that select what you want, all right, for me to give to you as wages. Now, up to this point, Jacob has served for his wives. Do you get what I'm trying to say? First, he served for 7 years eventually was given Leah. Then afterwards, he served 7 years and was given, that's for Rachel that he had already been given. Now, afterwards, the man asked, okay, appoint for me exactly what you want, and then, all right, you can please stay with me. This is what I want to highlight there. We've talked about it in previous times, but it's just good for records that I say this here again. He said, because I have divined, verse 27, who has the King James there? What did King James say? There's something I want to bring out there. He said, for I have learned by experience, all right, that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. Now, the correct Hebrew is what most other versions of the Bible renders. My Bible says like this, I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account. Let me explain what that means. When it says divined, you know the meaning of the word divination, all right? To divine means to make spiritual inquiry. Are you getting my point? He consulted people, or maybe he knew how to do divination, and they said the reason why you have prospered so much in the last many years is because Jacob was working for you. You are getting the point I'm making here? Therefore, he said, don't go yet, stay with me, then I will pay you. Now, Laban himself was master general, crafty man. The guy defeated Jacob in craftiness. And I think that's why God took him to the house of Laban. All right? Because you'll find out later, though the Bible didn't give us a breakdown, he said, 10 times Laban will unilaterally change the wages. For example, the first change of wage was for the first 7 years. Are you getting the point? Along the line, he kept on changing wages. The Bible didn't itemize all of them, but you see, they were agreed to. That spotted calf, they are yours. When Laban finds out that the spotted one are getting too many, he just unilaterally decide, hey, wait. The striped ones, that's the one you will take. But in all of it, now, this is what I want to bring out, is that the promise, the blessing of God in the life of Jacob was felt where he was working. The same principle you will find if you study the life of Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar also prospered because of the blessedness that was on Joseph. But you know what we find today as Christians? Now, I have to keep on explaining these things so that believers will know what God actually expects of them. What Christians do mostly is to look for where the boss is blessed. And then we prosper because of the boss. Do you understand the point? That the best way to get a wage increase, all right, is to demonstrate to your boss that he needs you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, a lot of people ask for increase and that. Look, the man just really, he's almost as if he's doing you a favor. You working for him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you're working, what is it that you are doing that he can't hire 10 people to replace you instantly? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me give a practical example. University system is a very interesting system. In the university system, the government has found it hard to negotiate with ASU. Under Idiagbon, there was time they threatened to sack university lecturers, either Idiagbon or Babangida, but it wasn't possible. Sacking university lecturers means only one thing. You close the university. Do you know why? Now, to the outsider, it may not appear so difficult. But this is how it is. You go to a department. For NUC to accredit a particular course, you must have a certain number of lecturers. and they must be on certain cadres. Now, to produce a professor is not by reading. You produce professors not by reading. It's not that you read hard enough. You do exam, you become a prof. So let's get profs. No. One thing that is so critical is experience. No matter how much book you have read, how many papers you have published, you enter a university, if you don't have, in most universities in Nigeria, you must have at least a 10-year teaching experience to be appointed professor. No matter how, that is, even if your name is Albert Einstein. Are you getting my point? And then all the while you've been working in research labs and here and there, if you have never taught, the day you step out and say, now, please, I want to be appointed prof, nobody will agree, they will not agree. They can pay you wages of 10 times the wages of a prof, all right? But nobody will appoint you a professor except you have taught for a minimum of 10 years. So then, Baba Diagman who said, we are going to sack all the lecturers. Lecturers will laugh. Say, you can't. The only way to do it is to close universities. Because after you sack the man, you can, okay, you're going to employ young graduates. You employ a PhD holder. He becomes what they call a lecturer two. Do you understand my point? A lecturer two, the step after lecturer two is lecturer one. The step after lecturer one is senior lecturer. The step after that is what they call reader or associate professor before you have a prof. That is, in the next 10 years, the guy is not yet a prof. Do you follow the one I mean? But some people just come. Maybe all the gates may just say, like, we're not going to open gate again. They will just drive all of you. Get away. Because next day, they will recruit opener of gate. In fact, they will put automated gate opening. So once you just drive up to the gate opens by itself. If it's a security gate, you show your pass, run it across a particular slot, and then the gate opens. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is what gives you a negotiating power in life is the fact that you are literally indispensable. You follow the point I'm making? Let me tell you something. This is just by the way. In life, your goal must be, there must be something I do that without me doing it, they won't find somebody else to do it. Now, I'm not saying you should do it that so you can hold people in to ransom. No. It's just to make sure you are good. Are you getting my point? You know this man, Deo, the man that's founded Deo, you know his dream in life, all right? He makes everything. Deo, they made, of course, cars. I saw an advert today, one newspaper I bought downstairs, Deo TV and a home entertainment system, fridges, everything, you know. They built ships. What don't they do? But the man said his dream in life, he said it then, is to make something that when you think about that thing, the first thing that drops in your mind is Deo. Let me give you understand what I'm saying. You know, like as a child, you didn't know the meaning of the word detergent. If you grew up where I grew up, what did you know? Omo. As a child, I didn't know toothpaste. I knew McLean's first before I learned toothpaste. Are you getting my point? Like I was discussing that the other day. I think it's in the last maybe 15 years that I realized that Quaker Oats is not the name of the thing. That is just the one made by Quaker that is called Quaker Oats. That other people make oats. No, you know, it's so recent that it's almost embarrassing. In fact, some people hearing that say, "What, sir? Did you mean that?" Ah, I never. In fact, some people didn't know until I said it now. That oats is a cereal. Do you understand my point? They farm the thing. They farm it. You harvest it. It's the one packed by a company called Quaker that you call Quaker Oats. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's the kind of thing they wanted, that I will make something. He said, even no matter how small, but that thing, once the idea drops in people's mind, when you need that thing, the name that drops in your mind instantly is what? They will. It's like, you know, now they've lost it, but then when Rank Zeros came out with the photocopier, no, in fact, till now in American settings, you don't copy something, you Xerox it. You get my point? That's just the way it is. So that's one day I was in my mechanic's place. He was tuning my car, the one that has died, you know, the dead car, the dead now. That was alive, and I was watching this man. This guy was so full of skill. One guy has worked on that thing several times before I finally abandoned the guy and came back to the boss, the big boss, the master himself. And when, I was there when he was putting finishing touches with the engine before he gave it back to me. I was just there watching. All that came to my mind is, I said, God, this guy is good. So a desire just came up in my heart. I said, Lord, there must be something I do that people will sit down and say, this guy is good. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I said, Lord, you know the word masses. You know how much I dislike it. You know, one of the masses. No, my own is that there must be something that you will do. You know, was it my wife and I discussing yesterday? We're talking about, was this morning now? Talking about Aliko Dangote. That is the thing, is that the guy is saved. You know what I mean? Institution that is. He said he went somewhere. They said, oh, let's welcome the richest man in Africa. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, this is not just about being vainglorious. Listen, whatever it is you want to do in life, you must have a goal, a dream, to be the best there is. See, that's one of the problems I have with going to America. I'm serious. That is like relocating to... Look. I will sit down where God has said I should shine. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh, and I will polish myself so well that I will dazzle eyes that look. Like you look like this, you go blink. You get the point I'm going to make. Now, let's just get back to our message, please. I'm just trying to draw something there for us. So, Laban said, I have divined. That is a matter of spiritual truth. That the reason why I'm prospering is because this guy is working for me. Therefore, and I told him, let's discuss exactly what you want. Whatever it is that you want, I will give it to you. Remember, I gave an example of a friend of mine. I still remembered him again today. I was explaining something to somebody. No, it was when we were talking on radio. I used it as an example. My friend was working for MMB and he was a regional sales manager. Let me just put it like this. He was working for a pharmaceutical company in Nigeria and was a regional sales manager. Then one day, because of personal issues, he said he was resigning the job and he was leaving. He wasn't really angry with the company, but you know, sometimes events in life can really make you feel one kind about some things. And then there were some riots all over the country and he was working in the north. So he was just tired of the whole situation. So he said he was resigning. So his immediate boss, he said, all right, no problem. But the big boss from South Africa, all right, like the parent company, the big boss for this area, came from South Africa and heard that guy was resigning. And it wasn't funny as far as it was concerned. Like that is, the Nigerian bosses were out of their minds. That number one, this guy for years, consistently, when he was a low-level sales rep, he was the best. He always won the award. As a sales manager, he was the best. Are you getting my point? Every year, the guy would defeat everybody. He said, and the man wants to resign, and you guys will just tell him simply, okay, bye-bye, it is all right. When he resigns, where do you think he will go to? He will go home and go and open a kitchen where they sell Google and Ekpa what? He's likely to go and start working for your competitor. What does that tell you? He will take all his skill, everything, and transfer it to a competing company. So he ordered them to call the guy for negotiation. So when he came out of the office, he said, a guy wants to see you. They said, what exactly do you want? He said, number one, post me from here and take me back to Lagos. They said, done. What else do you want? He said, I'm tired of this post. I think I'm due for promotion. I want this other post. He said, that's where the problem is. That post is not empty. It's not vacant. So except we sack somebody for you, and you don't even want us to do that. I'm adding my own words now. All right? So this is what we're going to do. We'll give you the next available position before that one. All right? But we'll pay you the wages of that particular position you're asking for. He said, but because if we did that, the other people on your level would be unhappy. You know, when you are collecting salary, maybe you are paying them, as an example, that we are paying you, you are paying out of everybody 100,000 naira. Then when you collect your own, you collect 150. They want to know why on earth. So you know what they did? They took the 50,000 naira extra for the year and started giving him at the beginning of the year. So instead of collecting 150, which is due to him from negotiation, they'll give him 100. But 50 times 12, they give him at the beginning of the year 600,000 naira extra. So he came and told me, I said, Banky, so that is why I'm back with you here in Lagos and I'm not resigning from that company anymore. Like I told you, I was going to resign. Appoint me your way. You get to my point? Tell me what exactly you want me to do. You're getting the principle here. In life, no, you must become skilled in whatever you... Now, this don't apply only in material things like that. In everything. In everything or in life, spiritual, social things. Make sure that, come on, that your departure will be felt. You know why Dorcas got raised from the dead? Why Peter had the faith to raise Dorcas from the dead? After Dorcas died, everybody said, see this shirt? Now Dorcas swam. See this trouser? Now, Dorcas swam. That day when we wanted to do this wedding, they were about to embarrass us. Dorcas just produced this. Hi! How, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now that Dorcas is going. Peter said, I lie. Dorcas not going anywhere. who will fill in these shoes? No, it's not possible. Kenegin told the story of the fellow he prayed back from a crucial accident, all right, in which he was about to die. His lung was collapsed for days, back to life. Why? Because he said, God, I don't know where I'm going to get another man to do this job. You are getting the point I'm going to make. It's important. Let's go on with our teaching. So he said, I have divined. It's a matter of the spiritual truth. It's a matter of divine truth. I have divined it, and then I've been blessed because of you. Now, if you see in verse 30, it now said that, let's start from 29. You yourself know how I have served you and how your cattle has fared with me, for you have had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned, but now, when shall I provide for my own household also? Now, I'll explain something about this for a moment, but let's do the next line. He said, all right, so he said, what should I pay you? He was saying, he said, I don't want to give me anything. If you do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Now, there are a number of points I want to bring out from this as I'm going, and I have to close shortly. And I said I wasn't going to stay for long. So let me see whether I can rush it. Yes, I just have to rush it. He said, this is what I want you to do. Let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep and every black one among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and such shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen. Laban said, good. Now, if you know Laban very well, he has checked and realized that will be a great minority. Do you understand what I'm ready to say? Laban had checked. All right? He said, good. Let it be according to your word. Now, so before I lose track, please, let me get back to the first thing. I'm about to lose track of this I'm about to say. In verse 30, he said, but now, when shall I provide for my own household also? What was Jacob saying there? Let me explain something to you here. All the years he had been working, but they know his household. Think about that. He had been working for Laban. He had been getting something like enough money to get by. He had many children. They were all feeding from the things that he was doing in Laban's house. But you know the interesting part? They did not have an inheritance. Get what I'm saying? That is, all the things he was working with, none of them belonged to him. Yes, he was earning wages, but the company was not his own. Listen, let me say this. I don't know whether I can say this and not... Anyway, hear it and hear it well. Apply it as it will help you in life. If you are going to have a salaried job in life, once you start collecting the salary, start plotting for your exit. Listen, I don't care who you are working for. Even if it is ExxonMobil and they are giving you $500,000 a month, you know the truth? Nobody is stupid. There's nobody paying you $500,000 a month who's not making $1 million off you a month. That's a principle. A friend of mine told me something once. He said, I didn't answer him because I didn't go there. I didn't tell him anything I was about to tell you. He was working for a bank. He said, man, now wow. Funny enough, he's still working for those banks. He's a big guy now. But God opened his eyes to something, but he didn't hold on to it for long. He said, how come every time, because doors opened, that he became one of these big banks now, all right, one of those banks that, you know, $25 billion was not a problem. They raised some money, just mopped up some of their junior banks, sucked them in, and then that's it. Now they are big banks. Now, amongst the new generation banks, they're amongst the top big ones. I don't want to mention names. They opened a new branch once in Abuja, and then he went to go and head the place, my friend. And his target monthly then was ₦100 million that was supposed to raise on a monthly basis, target, all right, as a manager. All right. Of course, he won't do all the things himself. They asked people working with him. He said the target was so high, this was some time ago, that he was using his personal car in Abuja instead of the official car. He was a manager. He said because he gave his official car to his salespeople to use, that meant we have to meet this target. So he was telling me that now, so doors open, he will have the avenue to talk to big people, walk up to ministers, you know, men, billionaires, men who had money and all of that. He said, he told me that. He kept asking, he said, why is that? The statement he has in his mouth every time is, sir, what can you do for my bank? Do you get what I'm going to say here? He said, I think I'm getting tired. Now, why can't I even ask somebody one day, what can you do for me? He said, I felt like that. It's because they are paying you. You don't have the mouth. Your mouth has been bought. You must get that point. And if you say, let's, what can you do for me? You are stealing. You are appearing in that guy's places on the passport of the company behind you, and they have paid your wages for the day. So you are supposed to, you know. But at least he understood something there, that look, yes, these guys are paying me well. I'm earning a lot of money. And I said, but I am building them. I'm not building myself. Do you follow what I say? One of the banks I love most in Nigeria, all right? Okay, I just want to mention them because I'm going to be advertising for somebody. One of the reasons why they are so strong is that the biggest shareholder there, all right, are the people who work in there. They have like a kind of an investment company that the workers own, all right? Once you work there, your money goes in there, all right? And they own, at least on paper, they own about 1/5 of the bank. And that's a very good deal. So even if you resign from there today, a significant chunk belongs to you. So when you are working, you're working for yourself. Are you getting the point they make here? What Jacob was saying, it wasn't like, when will I have money to buy my children's books and to pay their fees? No. He was saying, when will I have the opportunity to create an inheritance for my own offspring? Do you understand my point? And I want everybody to understand that in life. That, you see, the Bible said a good man, all right, leaves an inheritance for his children's children. To work for a wage all your life, let me say this with care, it shows that you are not blessed. You know what? One of the greatest writers that's not a preacher that I've ever read is Robert Kiyosaki. Why? Because he said everybody must learn to mind his business. Now, the mistake a lot of young people make is that as long as they leave school, I don't want to work for anybody. Nobody's saying that. Jacob worked for Laban for years. Do you understand my point? But he understood that a time must come, all right, when I will take time out to go and provide for my own household. I've been building the flock of Laban. Yes, he's been giving me food. I mean, he had enough food to feed two quarreling wives, their childbearing maids, and all the children they bore. Are you getting my point? But he understood that this inheritance is not mine. You understand the principle? No, there's a mentality in life. You know, I thought about something the other day. I was thinking about it. Very common in a lot of parts of the world, developed countries especially, that all of us want to run to. And I thought about it. A man will tell you that, look, to keep body and soul together, maybe in the UK or America or Sweden, whatever it is, you walk from this time, maybe let's assume from 7 a.m. in the morning, you leave your house at 5, get to the work at this, and then you close at this, and you go through all of that. And they tell you that society is very good. Now, get my point. The society is good. I'm not saying it is not. But for everyone who's working like that, and there's no end in sight, all right, the person is operating under a curse. Did you hear what I said? I know what I am saying, and I mean it absolutely. That is why Robert Kiyosaki is one of my favorite non-Bible teaching authors. Because it encourages people to say, mind your own business. The idea of waking up early, going to bed late, all right, and this is Banky's theology now, and not seeing an end in sight, or not seeing, forget not seeing, but there be no end to it until retirement. It shows that you have not been blessed by God. Listen, you know what Jacob was saying? If my beginning be small, better. At least my latter end shall greatly increase. At least I am building the inheritance for myself. You are getting the point I'm not going to make here. So, you see, you work in a place where, like I said, if a man gives you ₦1 million a month, he's earning ₦2 million at least. And that means he's a very nice guy. That is a generous guy. In fact, the person's name was Mary Kay Ash. No, there are very few people do that kind of thing. I mean, give out most of the profit coming from what they are doing. No, the person, I mean, you know, why I mentioned Mary Kay, when I look at their profile and their, how they are, I say, look, the owners of the company are not getting as much as those who are doing the work for them. No, not really. That woman didn't make money from that company alone. God blessed her in many other areas, all right? I mean, by then I look at the markup on your stuff and then the amount of people you give the money to, what your sellers retail, what you give to the people who recruited them, what you do the administration. At the end of the day, I say, Abba, how much go remain? to reach those of you inside the company. All right? Very few people are that generous. And let me just say, by the way, as a boss, if you can be generous, you will make more money than the stingy guys. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. Henry Ford. You know one of the reasons that made Henry Ford? He was paying so well that everybody wanted to die for him. That is one of the prayers in people's lives, that God, may I not lose this job. And they will work hard, sweat. Like one company said, I saw the advert. It said, companies that pay peanuts hire only monkeys. Before you pay peanuts, only monkeys will take it. You understand the principle here? So, Jacob, what I'm trying to tell you now is simple. Jacob, what he was saying is that, listen, I have to go and prepare an inheritance. And I want all of us to bear that in mind. This is not about being vainglorious, all right? This is not about being, how do I say it, full of yourself or just thinking about it. No. Listen, you cannot, I feel bad for people who plan for retirement. You know, right now, in Nigeria, your retirement benefit is based upon the performance of the capital market. No, you know that? Yes, now, in fact, I filled my own form last time. I worked for government, they paid me a salary, so deduct from it for pensions contribution. So if one day there's a great depression in Nigeria, all of you that have contributed for 25 years towards your pension, you shall be depressed also. I've said many things. Have you understood anything? All right? Uh-huh. When the Bible says be content with your wages, it didn't say you shouldn't have great dreams. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Just means don't cheat to supplement your wages. Cut your coats according to your present... cloth. Are you getting my point? If you have 2 yards, I can't make a coat, cut no coat at all. Cut a small singlet. But know that tomorrow we shall cut something bigger. You follow my point? But what we didn't say that people shouldn't have great dreams and intend to be blessed on the earth. And that's what he told him. So what now happened then was that, okay, Laban now agreed, and they now began to divide things that will now belong, you understand the point, to Jacob. And that was the next thing. Now, what I want to bring out next is the mechanism by which, now let's read verse 40. Let me just read from verse 40. Let me read verse 43. Then we'll discuss that, the rest of it afterwards. It says, so the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. It was talking about Jacob. Let me stop there. The man became exceedingly prosperous. Now, one thing I have noticed before on this earth, that's reading through the scripture and watching many things. No, let me put it like this. One thing I have noticed studying through the scriptures, and this has been reflected in things that happen on the earth, is that there's something God said, he pulls down one and brings up another. When the Egyptians defrauded the Israelites for a long time, many, many, many years, they lived in Egypt for over 100 years, thereabouts, or close to 200 years. All right, don't forget the law of 430 years came after him, all right? So that everything included that for 30 years. Now, they were there for a long time. But the period that they were in enslavement, all right, they were treated harshly. They worked for virtually no wage, all right? The day they left, the Bible said that they plundered the Egyptians. Essentially, what happened was that what their fathers worked for, do you get my point? The wages that was due them over the years was given to them in one day. Are you getting my point? Those guys, the church in the wilderness, if I may use that word, they were very rich at the expense of the Egyptians. That is, the Egyptians essentially kept things for them until that day. Now, Jacob's case, the same thing. For years, he had been serving Laban, and Laban was defrauding him. Laban was treating him harshly. When the time came, God converted things that would... Now, don't forget, he was blessed for whose sake? Laban was blessed because of who? Jacob. Therefore, look, this is how to treat somebody fairly in life. Okay? If you are being blessed because of Jacob, at least when the thing comes, give Jacob a very good share of it. Don't, it's when he's complaining that I'm going, you now realize that, you know, I have been blessed because of you. Okay, tell me what you want. You should have done that without him threatening to go. Again, let me give another example. One of my friends was working with a bank. He's left now, working with one of these telecom companies. You have heard me share his testimony once or twice because he so blessed me, I took permission from him to use him to preach. This young man, last time, when he was getting married, he was a jobless man. He was working somewhere. There was a problem in the bank he was working then. So they led off a lot of people, and he was amongst the people that was checked out, though he was innocent of the things that happened. Then along the line, he just kept on developing himself. The young woman who he was engaged to earlier decided that, well, it's your problem if you don't have a job. Me, I must have a husband. Do you understand? So they got married while he was waiting for God to open doors. But he was a hardworking man. He would be doing programs in Unilag, at the same time teaching ICANN lectures in the evening. You understand? He was a hardworking young man. And then, you know, just trying to make some little money. But things were really rough. Then one day, I came back to Lagos and discovered he was already a manager. Now, I'm telling you, this happened in less than 2.5 years. Or maybe 2 years. Now, 2 years afterwards, he had become an AGM. Now, listen, that's how rapid his promotion was. He's not related to the MD of the bank in any form. All right? Now, what happened? Let me just tell you how God worked out his promotion. Because I've told you that some of these testimonies we give, that praise the Lord, as stupid as I was the only one that was promoted. The Lord is good. It is not him that will it or him that run it. It's God that shows mercy. It's not the only way. Listen, my friend, that is arrant nonsense you are talking. All right? Don't repeat it publicly. Is that okay? Jacob was not promoted because he was stupid. Jacob was promoted because Pharaoh said, can we find a man as wise and discreet as you are, seeing that in you dwell the spirit of the gods, that is the excellent spirit inside you, is not common. Daniel was promoted because when they tested him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they found them 10 times better. That when they tested them in everything, they were just too good. You get the point? Don't come with all this. When God talking about people not being qualified, listen to what he means. You may not be a firstborn. That's what God is saying. All right? You may not come out of school with a first class. You may not be related to the boss. You may not. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You may not have a letter from a minister behind you. But when you go in, the spirit of excellence will come out and show exactly that God dwells inside you. That's how you get promoted. It's not as if the boss just said, you, I just like you. I don't know what I just saw in you, but I just like you. Therefore, my man, we are talking billions of naira. Nobody likes anybody like that if you are going to. No, it's true. I mean, a man invested money to set up a company. You think he'll just put you as MD because he just likes you. you get the point. So my friend, I'm telling you his testimony. What happened? Why did he become so... Why was he elevated so fast? Do you know, till he left the banking industry, he never crossed his mind to go to another bank. Yeah, the day I was talking to him, he felt that, yes, it's easy to rise by jumping from one bank to the other. I said, but you talking, you never jump from one bank to the other. Why? Because simply, one, he's executive director, one of the EDs in the bank, all right? One of the men who owned the place. He was working for that guy, all right? And the guy found him indispensable. So every position that opens, he pushes him into it. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, he told me that there was a day he was at home or something. His boss just phoned him and said, we have an appointment to see the vice president tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Make sure our presentation is ready. That is, it's not 24-hour notice. It's this evening. That is, first get your head down to Abuja, whichever way you are going to do it. And you know the interesting part? Till he started presenting to the Nigerian vice president, his ED didn't ask him, what have you prepared? The man just walked in. Yeah, time is, are you ready? He said, yes, sir. There are time to go. He just walked in, sat down. Okay, yes, sir. We have come. Yeah, our presentation. Just to go. Yeah, start. That he didn't even check what the guy prepared. That's how much he knew the guy was capable. You get what I'm trying to say? So today is an AM. Tomorrow, 6 months later, position for manager opens in that particular area. He kicks the guy into it, my friend, before somebody comes to employ you while I'm sleeping. You're getting my point. That's how the guy did it. After that, the next thing I knew, one day I phoned him and said, oh, but I hear you're now an AGM. He said, history. That right now is a prayer point that I should be promoted next time to DGM. It wasn't because the man, I just like you. Oh boy, when you're dealing with hundreds of billions of naira, I don't like people like that. It's a man that produces results that you like. Do you understand my point? One day, one of my students said, sir, it appears like you don't like me. I said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You know why I don't like you? You are stupid. You are lazy. You don't know anything. I abused him thoroughly. afterwards, I said, now you understand that, look, I'm married, we're not chasing the same woman. You can't chase my wife. It's not a matter whether I like you, I will kill you. What is the matter of her not liking you? That wouldn't be the issue then. If I find you chasing my wife, that's not a pastor of a drawn knife. And he said, what's happening? He said, it's a crime of passion. So that's not the issue. I said, the relationship between you and I is lecturer and student. And for your position here, I can't like you. Your attitude is wrong. He shaped up. So afterwards, he became my friend. You come to my office. Good morning. I said, see, now we are friends. Now you are very serious. You are learning your book. You are learning your... I said, now we are friends. He said, yes, sir. And then till they finally finished the exam and everything, I used to break rules for him. They said, okay, maybe students are not supposed to come here from this. And I said, look, tell them I said you can enter anytime. I said, you see, your attitude has made me you my friend. You are getting my friend. So in the same manner, that's what happened to my guy. He was just being promoted one step to the other until, the guy rose so fast. You may say that it's because he's connected. Yes, he became connected. Are you getting my point? Joseph became connected. Daniel became connected. All these men became connected. But at the beginning, were they connected? No. It was the spirit of excellence inside them that made them connected eventually. You get what I'm saying? Man, that was my guy's testimony. When he finished sharing with me, I said, well, please, you shall be a preaching topic for me. You don't mind me using it to preach? He said, not at all. I said, fine. You understand what I'm trying to say here? No, so I'm talking about the man became exceedingly prosperous. You will find out that along the line, what God did was to convert the wages that he was being owed. All right? And that's what I'm going to talk about next time. Because you see that God gave him a word of wisdom. All right? On what to do. Because sometimes, see, I tell you, as a Christian, don't expect things to happen to you normally in life. Do you understand my point? You should expect what? Divine favor. The problem I have with a lot of Christians who shout down 2007, my year of divine favor, are that they are not doing anything for God to favor. Do you get my point? You follow what I'm going to say here? But as a Christian, you should expect divine favor. The problem is sometimes people are not doing anything for God to favor. Maybe you hear once that Pastor Banks said he was going for exam, and then he dreamt, and then he saw question number one. So instead of reading your book, you lie down in the room, and people say, my year of divine favor, you shall reveal questions to me this year in Jesus' name. You didn't hear my testimony well. That I wasn't lying down praying. That was why I dreamt. Did I tell you that? I was going about like a diligent postgraduate student should be going about doing my work. But when God saw the volume of things, all right, and realized that the race is not to the swift, he now showed favor. I remember that day when I was going for that exam, I traveled with my prof. I hitched a ride. Save money any way you could those days, you know. So I had prof, they go, good morning, sir. Sir, please, can we just stay at the back of the car? Yes, sir. Of course, when I sat down on the road just to organize this for size, so you just have to be, you know, that one, you can't relax, you just sit straight for the whole journey. So I was reading. Now, my prof at that time was the chief examiner. Are you getting my point? So there was this particular topic, all right? In fact, the topic I told you I dreamt about, one of my chiefs came, asked me a question about it that day. I answered him the best I knew. He said, is that all? I said, chief, is there more? Then he reeled out the knowledge he had. I said, okay, I know that paper and ink revealed that one to you. Please show me the book in which you are reading this. They gave me one hyper-specialized textbook. I took the relevant pages, made copies of those pages, and started reading. Now, listen to this. That day, we were going for the exam. As I was just reading that area, I noticed that my prof was on my side and was shifting a bit uneasily and trying to see what it was I was reading, not knowing that the chief examiner had set that as question number one. And I was reading it because at that point in time, I didn't take my own dream seriously. Don't think I did. You follow what I'm ready to say? Uh-huh. But I just walked in normally. And there were three of us that came from my center, two from the center, one other guy. We sat near each other. As soon as we said, okay, you may start, and we opened the question, I remember my colleague beside me, he just turned to me and smiled. That is, your dream, O Joseph, has come to pass. Just, do you get my point? That was why God showed favor. Because I'm going to talk about it. As a Christian, you should expect what? Favor. You should expect favor. You should expect information that not everybody will have. You want to invest in the stock market, don't expect to use the same common, that is, pray. No. That is, you work diligently, you will know what everybody knows, and then on top of that, you will dream one day, and you see one company that is small, you see begin to grow, become a mountain. And you will look at the thing. You will say, I dreamt a dream. What did you see in the dream? I saw one particular mound, not a hill, not a mound, a small clay mound. And it became a hill. They say, what did you see? Say, when I looked closer, I saw a particular diagram. They say, what is that? It doesn't mean anything. Then one day, you buy a newspaper, you hear that one of the small companies that's publicly quoted, they've changed their logo, and the new logo is the one you saw in the dream. You don't need Joseph to wake up from the dead to interpret that dream. You know that this small mound shall become a hill. Whatever price they are selling their shares, you understand the point? You will mop it up and know that. They say, why are you wasting your money on such a useless stock? Say, don't worry. Don't worry. You will soon beg me to sell to you from this one that I have. I'm explaining something here. You will see that the way by which the goods of Laban was converted to Jacob was not natural. Do you get the point? You understand my point? Please don't forget that Christians, you should start. In fact, let me give you a new job. Wake up in the morning and say, today I receive favor in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean by favor? And that is when people are running 100 meters to get somewhere, God will open a door and I will just see that, we can take 10 meters and be there. Do you get my point? Yeah, it doesn't mean we'll sit down and won't go anywhere. But God will say, why run around? See, take this shortcut and you are there in 10 minutes. Do you get my point? But interesting enough, God doesn't show such doors to those who are not getting up at all. No, are you getting my point? God opens such doors for the men who are ready to run the 100 meters. You are ready to, you have rehearsed for the 100 meters. You are ready to go the 100 meters. But as you are starting to say, Lord, I have favor in that. And they go say, wait, take this side. So when you go, people go around, they say, you have already reached here. But you know what Christians want? They want to stay at home. Yeah, God will just come and drag us from our chair. And drag us through the door. You get what I'm trying to say? It was in that trade that Jacob was doing that God showed him favor. So let me stop there. Let me stop there, all right? The Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. If you have been blessed, say amen.